I met Tim Lura in the first few weeks I was working for Papunya Chula Artists in 1977. My first job there was to sketch paintings for documentation. And Tim was an artist who was very familiar with Alice Springs and was a regular visitor into a kind of tiny Papunya Chula artists' storage area off the main street of Alice Springs, Todd Street. Tim had a unique ability to make contact with people outside his own culture. He's very easy and approachable to talk to, lovely manner. He's also perhaps of all of the 30 or so active Papunya painters at that time, he was the most articulate in English. His first language was Mudjara. He also spoke Aranda, Luritja, Walbri, probably a bit of Pindara, certainly a bit of Kaiditch and Aliara. He was a remarkable man, and he also was an incredibly handsome, often people say, you know, movie star good looks. He had a very soft face, which is pretty characteristic of the Mudjara and Aranda people. He'd been a stockman for a good part of his life, so he was a fit fella in his, or I suppose he would have been about early 40s when I met him. So softly spoken bloke who was very familiar working with Europeans from his days as a stockman working on Napperby and various stations in the west of McDonald's to the west of Alice Springs. But he's also a very distinctive painter. One of the things about Papunya Chula painting, it's been incredibly influential in Australian art history. It's the place where the first dot painters started from. The artists really had to invent this new way of painting, converting ceremonies and various ways of representing the land into putting it onto a canvas or a canvas board onto a rectangular shape. Because of their importance, people tend to think of them as a kind of unified or singular group, whereas working with those artists, they were very particular and eccentric characters and worked in very, very different ways. Tim Lura was exceptional amongst those artists and had a very distinctive way of painting and a very distinctive approach to painting. So in lots of ways, his particularity and the sensibility that he brings to his work is a little bit lost in the overall significance of the art form that he helped to create. Tim Lura was one of the founding Papunya Chula painters. He was integral to the kind of development of the kind of formal qualities that characterise Papunya painting, that is the expression of ceremonial iconography and the application of dots as a sort of major treatment across the surface of the paintings. The first paintings that Tim and his cousin Kapa Jambijimba and his brother Clifford Possum Jabaljari produced didn't have dots. They were figurative works that represented almost photographic images or photographic-inspired images of ceremonial scenes. But gradually over a period of about a year, they abandoned that kind of figurative approach and started to think about how best to apply this sort of formal, often symmetrical distribution of icons across the canvas. And Tim and Kapa in particular really kind of perfected that geometry. Later on, I think Tim was really critical to the kind of development of the dot. At this stage, he was inspired by his father-in-law, classicatry father-in-law, Johnny Warramula Jubarula, who had done some amazing representations of storms. He used lots of little inflected dots to animate the surface. And Tim, Clifford and Kapa picked up on that notion. I think they were thinking of kind of looking into the creation of a ground painting, sort of being quite close to that image of the ground painting rather than the kind of photographic distance. They really came up. Sometimes ground paintings would be produced, they'd use two major materials to put on the kind of mosaic-y elements. One was a kind of desert daisy that was chopped up and mixed with pigment, and that created a kind of stiff line. The other element was the down of wedge-tailed eagle chicks. So people had watched the eagles go up there when the chicks were starting to fledge, and they'd collect those chicks and pluck them. And they'd use that kind of precious material the down, just like the down in a doona, and chop it lightly, and then apply it with an adhesive to the surface of the ground to make lines and icons, you know, concentric circles and seated figures. That material is quite magical because when the wind blows across it, it becomes very animate. It's like watching the wind blow across a field of wheat. Vincent van Gogh's paintings of wheat fields, that kind of incredible sort of animation of the living world. Yeah. And I think that's what inspired Tim to use the paintbrush very, very lightly. So all the dots aren't sort of thick and even. They were tiny and inflected and coming in from an angle. Mm-hmm. So that when you saw the surface of his paintings, these paintings produced in 1972 and 1973, the whole surface is quite animate. There's a structure underneath there, the kind of iconography of ceremony, if you like. The surface is that kind of materiality of the ceremony of this adnath, this chopped up down that is not fixed like a mosaic, but animate like a field of flowers in the wind. When he was on the Aboriginal Arts Board and met Ken Colburn and other people, it was a remarkable group, that first Aboriginal Arts Board, but people like Ken kind of recognised in Tim a special ability to communicate across cultures. And I think the work in the Fremantle City Collection, the Swan River painting, is an amazing reflection of Tim's capacity to use art to bridge cultures and let images do the talking, create a new reality, not necessarily through words, but very metaphysical paintings that he constructed that operated on quite a few different levels. You know, they operate on the level of the representation of place, say his birthplace. They represent his ancestors, the possum people or honey ant people, but they also sort of embody the kind of cultural exchange that's going on, because he's painting with an awareness of eventual consumers of his painting, European people in art galleries. The Joondalup painting is quite a different painting, and it's a painting about his particular ancestors, his father and his grandfather. And it was one of a series of paintings Tim produced in the late 1970s. And when he described what was going on in the paintings, I really struggled at first to comprehend what he was telling me, because most of the paintings that were done by other Papunya artists at that time were kind of housed in terms of the dreaming, an ancestral place, for me a kind of distant past, whereas Tim's paintings of that order, the father-grandfather paintings, they occur in place, but he's really focusing on his recollection of being a little kid around Napperby and watching his father and his grandfather, you know, pick up their spears and their boomerangs and head off, you know, into the distance by foot, off hunting, and then coming back later on either with a rock kangaroo, a euro, or a kangaroo, or maybe nothing. But that kind of really particular remembrance of his father and his grandfather as hunters is what that painting, the Joondalup painting, is about. And his treatment of it is very sensitive, softly modulated dots there. And the other thing that Tim does with his dots is quite often have them semi-transparent. Many desert artists now paint with kind of thick acrylic, with quite often Tim's paintings done with really thin acrylic paint. He waters it down. You can see the kind of pressure of an individual brushstroke, and that gives his paintings a kind of a real fragility, and doesn't make them necessarily always really beautiful, but it invites you into the surface of the painting. There's another very curious part of Tim's mixture of paint that I think it comes from his observation of his close relatives, people like Keith Namajira and Morris Ibadarinja, who were watercolour painters of his generation, who were the sons and nephews of Albert Namajira. They painted with watercolour, and Tim would have seen these guys mixing, you know, little tablets or little tubes of watercolour paint and mixing lots of water and spreading out the paint in that way. And he picks up on that notion, but in using acrylic, he creates something very new with that. And I don't think any of the other painters really explored that capacity for the, perhaps Clifford Possum did also, but the capacity for the viscosity of the paint to be a really effective part of the picture making it as a whole. So you really got to go in and look closely at Tim's painting with your nose against the work, and then you can really see his hand at work making something remarkable, making something that can never be replicated. Every painting is unique because it's happening in the moment, you know, with the brush and that really immediate and very close sense, whereas I think other works can be a little bit more mechanistic, you know, where they're repeating icons very strictly. I was fortunate in the last few months of the time I was at Papunya that Tim and his brother Clifford invited me to take me up to their country, which wasn't too far away, up to Napperby. And along the road north out of Papunya, we went past this sort of dry salt lake, and then on one side of the salt lake there were rocky outcrops. So we stopped the car and went up to one of these rocky outcrops where we could look out over Papunya and Karanyata, Mount Wedge, and all that sort of magnificent country there. When we were almost up to the top of this rocky outcrop, Tim and Clifford stopped, and there was a Euro path where the rock kangaroos create a path around. We started following that path until we got to this big rock, and the rock is where his father or his grandfather used to stand behind, and they just wait there because they knew this was the road for the Euros to travel on. They just wait there until one jumped along, and then as it passed the rock, they'd whack it on the head. They disappeared into the environment until it was their time to become a predator and collect this meat for the family who waited at home. It was so wonderful to, you know, travel with those guys, see the country through their eyes.